Now, just for my listeners, do you want to give us an idea of who you are, the council to homeless persons? I just found that quite fascinating. Can you tell us, Deb, what you do?
Sure. So we're the Peak Body and we represent homelessness across Australia. So what we do is we try and advocate to the government on behalf of all organisations that are providing services to people experiencing homelessness to find the solution in terms of ensuring that we get more people housed.
And you're actually quite positive, aren't you? I mean, you've recently put in a submission to the Victorian government leading into its budget, and you say quite categorically that it's possible to actually remove homelessness as a blight on our society.
You're absolutely right, Annie, and a lot of people will say to me, oh, how do you work in an area like homelessness? It must be really depressing. Well, actually, it's one of those social issues that is really one where we have a roadmap and we've got a solution. So we know we can end it, and I think when you know that you can end a social problem that impacts on people who are very vulnerable across our state, you feel very optimistic. So our role is just to continue to articulate that roadmap to our state government ministers and leaders.
And in fact, your organisation does an analysis of why the reasons for why there is such a problem at the moment.
It does. And what we know is that one of the single biggest things that we want the government to continue in this state budget is to not just continue to fund, but increase the funding on the Homelessness to a Home project. That project has managed to keep thousands of Victorians in a house. And I think there's this big misconception that the solution to people who have been sleeping rough is just to provide a home. You need to be able to provide the home, but the social supports are just as critical, so that if someone is experiencing some challenges around alcohol and other drugs, mental health, any of those long-standing challenges need to be addressed with the right social supports. And we know that organisations across this state that have implemented the Homelessness to a Home principles have managed to achieve a 90% sustainment rate in their tenancy. So that means 90% of those people who were sleeping rough, who have been housed and have got the right ongoing supports, have managed to stay in that home. And as far as I'm concerned, I mean, anything that has got that evidence behind it should continue to be funded.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. So what it really means is that this whole area is quite complex because humans are complex, and it could be argued that in actual fact, focusing on houses as being a roof over your head and security rather than an investment or a financial issue could be helpful, in fact.
Absolutely. And that is what we are trying to say, that in fact, while you're spending the money here at the front end in this service, we know that you're saving money long term. So people keep telling me it's a really tight fiscal budget. We understand that, but we're saying this is, if you want to talk about it in economic terms, this is going to save the government money in terms of health department, because you haven't got ongoing health issues that people have when they are experiencing homelessness, and also in the justice system because of the correlation between that cyclical, unfortunate system that operates, that is a direct correlation between homelessness and leading into some type of justice system. So we say, spend the money at the front end and you're going to get really long-term benefits. We also know that the Homelessness to a Home program is really good at getting people back into employment. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Let's take the gloves off. I'm responding to a release that you put out, the Council to Homeless Persons put out, challenging the Victorian government to actually cover the shortfall between what's called affordable housing and social housing. This is fascinating to me because people think that these are interchangeable words. In fact, they think that public housing is the same as social housing, but of course that's not the case. But could you explain to my listeners the difference between what's called affordable housing and social housing and what your plan that you put forward to the government and the budget?
Sure. So a lot of, you're absolutely right, a lot of people use the term affordable and social housing as one and the same, but they are in fact really distinct. So a really simple way of explaining it is that affordable housing is where a renter pays 80% of the market rate. So if the market rent for a property was, for example, $450 a week, an affordable rent charge would be $360 per week. Social housing, on the other hand, is where a renter pays 25 to 30% of their income. So the rents aren't tied to market rates, but to income. So that would mean a single person on JobSeeker, their rent would be around $125 per week.
Okay.
So that's the way of looking at it. But one is looking at a market rent and saying you pay 80% of that. The other one is saying we're not looking at the market rent, we're looking at your income.
And just to jump in here, the federal government has committed to build 20,500 affordable housing properties. That's affordable housing properties over the next 4 years. And based on population, Victoria's share of these dwellings is 7,000. Okay. So we're talking about affordable housing, not social housing.
Exactly. And what we are asking for and what anyone who works in homelessness is asking for is a greater proportion of social housing. And when people say, well, why is Victoria asking for this? We've got the lowest proportion of all households living in social housing. So, for example, in 2021, the proportion in Victoria was 2.9% compared to a national average of 4.2%. So when you benchmark us across any other jurisdiction, we are the lowest proportion. So we would say, have a look at the other jurisdictions and what they're doing, and let's make sure that we get this right and we address people who are experiencing so much disadvantage across this state. And it's worth knowing that Victoria's got more than 67,000 households at the moment registered and waiting for social housing, and 36,000 people are deemed a priority. So we're talking about real needs, and we need to see some action and leadership by the state government in this budget.
In fact, what you've done is actually costed it, and you're saying that the Victorian government should put $11,400 into each of those households' rent payments in order to change those 7,000 houses into social housing rather than affordable housing. That's the plan,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Yep, that's absolutely right.
Which is fascinating. I mean, in a way, it seems to me it's almost like, why is this not propping up the lazy capitalist model of using housing as a weapon against the majority of the population?
Absolutely right, yeah. And we've got a solution, we can fix it. And for people who aren't driven or motivated by good social outcomes, the economic stacks up as well.
There was a fascinating thing in your, I'll rustle my bits of paper because I was reading your submission that you made. And there's this absolutely fascinating breakdown of, because you're looking at youth homelessness. And I'll just read it. Invest in establishing a pool of 5,000 new social housing properties for young people, because you do a breakdown of how much people who rent to young people, and the reason for why young people are not preferred tenants is because they just don't receive enough payments to be able to be financially useful to the people who are renting out these properties.
Exactly. That's exactly.
It took me a long time to get that out, but
no, Annie, you're spot on. It means that young people who have got less income supports than other people will be seen as not having the same amount of money to be able to meet their rental payments. And we want to support our young people to be able to thrive. And we know that in order to do that, they need to have really good housing options and they need to have good housing support. And in fact, we just released our Parity magazine for those that are interested. And that was a couple of days ago. And that is all around our young people and their experience of homelessness. And we say you need targeted social housing for young people. And you're right, it's 5,000 new homes. And I mean, just across the board for your listeners, sometimes it's good to do a breakdown that if you're on JobSeeker and your rent assistance maxes out, that requires a person on JobSeeker to live on $66 per week. Now, I don't think there's anybody listening across the state that would say it's possible to live on $66 a week. So we've set up a system where people who are experiencing poverty are just ending up squeezed out. Everybody knows the cost of living pressures, so the time to act is now.
Can you just, before I let you go, because this is such a complicated area, although in a way it's simple, people need roofs over their heads and in appropriate places, where does the big housing build fit into all this? I mean, it's nice. It's a nice slogan, big housing build, and there is building billions of dollars attached to it, but how does that fit in with answering the issues that we've been discussing?
So what we are learning about the big housing build is that, firstly, we want to congratulate the government. I think that is an incredible commitment from the government and some leadership that says we actually do need to do something around housing and we need to get more of those constructed. What we do is we say, in terms of that big housing build, we want a proportion of that to be allocated and targeted for young people. And that, in my understanding, is that that has already been committed, a portion of the big housing build. What we obviously are trying to do as well is to ensure that we're doing everything we can to support the government to ensure that we get those buildings constructed in an efficient way and as quickly as possible.
Okay, so you see it as positive?
I do see it as positive, absolutely.
Yeah. Have you had any response from the government in relation to your suggestion?
We haven't. We don't know. We've had some, thank you very much for your budget submission. We have looked at it and we won't know now until the budget is delivered the exact sums that are going to fall in terms of the housing ask. So no, I certainly haven't had any heads up that I've got a tick against any of those asks, but when you're in advocacy, you're always hopeful.
Well, that's right. Take your hopeful pill each
exactly.
morning.
Exactly.
Thanks for talking to me, Deb.
Anytime, Annie. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.